actually it's quite a good follow-on to the next bit. This bit of smacking of communism. The thing is that the other aspect of what I'm doing is that increasingly it's just become absolutely obvious that I'm going to have to become involved in politics. When I came, I thought, you know, that's not my job, it's not my function, keep your nose out. But time and again, every time we start to question something, even at the basic level of why can't we get a playground built at Govap for the kids, it comes back to politics. It comes back to either the Catholic Church hierarchy, which you want to bash your head against, or else it comes back to the government. And it comes back to corruption. And so you can't really keep your nose out of politics. Gosh, I've just noticed the way the needle goes up. I'll put this off. Sorry, I had to interrupt that. I just noticed the helicopter was flying overhead and the needle was going way up beyond the sound that you're meant it to go up beyond. Typical of the government, you see, we have these helicopters all the time. They patrol Saigon with a chap with a machine gun sitting at the entrance of it, with the machine gun trained down on the streets. And they come really low, just over the rooftops. And at night they have searchlights that shine down. It's really sort of, you know, Big Brother is watching you. Which you forget to notice until you get away. I didn't notice about the helicopters until I got to Singapore and then realised there weren't any. One of the things that I've decided to do, I can't do anything about the politics here while I'm in the country. I would get thrown out and that would defeat its object. But what I'm going to do is make myself really well informed, and I want to be accurately informed. The danger is that, I mean, it's quite obvious that you get government propaganda shoved at you all the time. All the newspapers, all the broadcasts are government. The danger is to swing the other way. And, of course, we're in touch with the Quakers from Kwan Nai, who are in touch with the other side. And the tendency is to think that everything that happens with the PRG or everything that happens in the North is wonderful. And this is equally untrue. It's propaganda of another kind. And what I want to do is try and get myself really well informed from reliable sources so that when I come home and if I'm asked to lecture or talk, I'll be able to give good information about the situation. And the other thing that really interests me is recently we've been seeing a set of slides which have been made about American involvement in Vietnam, pointing out that although the American military has withdrawn, all they've done is to transfer military aid. Well, what they do is they call it social aid, their social program of so many millions, and 80% of that is actually being channeled off to military purposes. But although there is a ceasefire, America is actually supporting the Thieu regime. And yet they've signed an agreement to say that there are two legitimate governments in South Vietnam. The peace treaty is just so much eyewash. And what I want to do is to find out about British involvement. The thing is that Britain's involvement is a passive one, it's non-involvement. But by their silence, Britain is actually supporting. They're taking a stand on a certain side. And this is what I want to find out about. And this has introduced me to some more really interesting people. Really fascinating. I've met the leader of the opposition party in the government, and he's really interesting. A very clever man, very well informed, very sensible, and with a great sense of humour, surprisingly so. I'm going to the British Embassy to discuss things with their political experts, and he's an Irishman, Ian Souter, and a very good friend of ours. He's kind of replaced Alan Mollett as our good friend. I'm going to the leader of the link with Amnesty on political prisoners. I'm going to interview some ex-prisoners. Oh, here's another helicopter. I'll switch it on. Let's sit away again. I think they must be after me today. What was I saying? Yes, I was going to interview some ex-prisoners. You know, it's just so horrible, the things you find out. Life goes on and one's happy in one's work. And then, you remember I wrote to you about the Nyabe oil dump when the petrol tanks were blown up? Since then, we've had, rumours have been flying, you haven't a clue what to believe, but we've heard pretty accurately that either 10 or 13 people have been tortured to death since then because of it. Now, even if it's not 10, even if it's only 7, which it may be, it's bad enough. I mean, it's just horrible. Really respected people, like the rector of Van Han University, who's an elderly Buddhist monk, is being summoned before a military court because he had allowed a student's magazine to be published, which had anti-government information in it, criticism. It's just this kind of thing that's pretty horrible. So, I'm going to find out more about it. It's very interesting. It's really rather strange, you know. I thought when I came here I was going to be quite away from my old job. But in a way it's very much like historical research, except that it's present-day research. Really interesting. So, that's where we've got to now. Sorry, back again. Can't remember what that interruption was. Except that Heinz, the chap across the road, who's our sort of local resident communist agent, has just been in. But he's away again. He's one to take with a pinch of salt. Well now, what was I at? Politics. Incidentally, don't worry about me doing this sort of thing, because it's not dangerous for me at all. The only thing that would happen to me would be that I might be sent home. Which wouldn't be too bad after all. I'm being very careful indeed about it, because of course it involves other people. I'm a kind of amateur at the job, I'm not really, but I just think that I should find out as much as I can before I come home. Well, let's get away from the thorny question of politics, but oh, when I come home, just wait. You know, I've got so much to say and I'll be an absolute bore. But there's just so many questions have been raised in my mind altogether that it's, as Peter says, it blows your mind. I'll come to the big questions at the end and we'll see what I can fit in. Well, I hope you're listening to this on a Sunday night and then you can have a sleepless night at the end of it all. I've still to get on to religion and politics at the end. Holidays? I think I told you all about them. I had a most fabulous holiday at Singapore and Malaysia. It was really good. Really enjoyed it. You really don't realise quite how tense it is here until you get away. And then just to be able to walk on the street without stepping over barbed wire and not to have soldiers at every street corner and no helicopters and to be free to move, to go out at night without worrying. And then the other night we got a bullet through our roof. And this kind of thing, you just can't go out at night. And it was just lovely to be away and be on holiday. And I was really surprised at how fit I was. And Marion and I went for long walks in the Cameron Highlands. And I went 20 miles one day and was really quite fit, which was agreeably surprising. In about a week's time, it's going to be Tet, and I'm going to go to Quinyon to stay with my friend Betty Miller, a Welsh girl in Quinyon. She works for Save the Children Fund. She's a great character, so I'm going to have a few days with her, and then the others are all coming, and we're having a team retreat to a leprosarium at Quinyon. The thing is that at Tet, everybody comes and visits, and you just get no peace and no time to yourself. So we reckoned the leprosarium was about the best place we could go. It's run by French nuns, and it's it takes visitors. I mean, this is a thing that it does, and they have beautiful cooking. And it's situated right up at the top of some cliffs, just beside a sandy beach. So it should be a really lovely holiday. We're looking forward to it. And then after that, everyone's splitting up. Chris is going to Hue. Ellen's going to stay on at Quinyon for a few days. No, she's not. She's going to Quang Nai, to the Quaker Center. Chris is going to Hue. Joss is going to Dalat for 2 months to study Vietnamese. And I'm going to come back to Saigon because Andrew and I have been invited to our Vietnamese tutors to spend Tet with her. So that I'll actually be at home for Tet, which will be rather fun. Tet is great. It's like New Year for days on end. You go out visiting people and they come and visit you and everybody takes presents. And, there are lots of Vietnamese customs. Hong Van lives in the country and so she's told us that they have all the old traditional customs there. They have kind of, a dance with a dragon. Lots of men all sort of being a dragon, Chinese dragon dance. And they have all kinds of special food that they produce. And, it'll be great. It'll be very bad for the diet. I've lost 9 pounds since November now. So I'm getting on, but I'm still a bit to go. I was a pretty beefy bunny at one point. But I'm really dieting like mad. I have no breakfast, just coffee. And at lunchtime I have salad. With no bread, no butter, just salad and fruit of some kind and a cup of tea. And then at dinner I have a tiny half bowl of rice with whatever food there is. And I just have to accept that it's done in lovely rich coconut sauce and all kinds of things. And then fruit. And that's all. And I'm really losing weight like mad. It's great. Then other holidays, I've got 2 weeks of holidays to come. And I'm probably going to go to Hue sometime. And maybe up to Quang Nai, to the Quaker Center. I think I'll probably spend my 2 weeks just kind of traveling around Vietnam. But I'm not due that till about, probably take it in the hot season, around about April. The weather just now is absolutely fabulous. It's really cold. I wake up in the mornings with my blankets around my ears and really goose flesh cold. It's great. Then it gets sort of warm enough to sunbathe about midday and then cool again by evening. And all the Vietnamese people are going around shivering and they say it's the coldest since 1941. It suits me down to the ground. Lovely. It was really hot the hot season and it will get hot again. March, April and May, it'll get really hot again. But I can take a holiday and I'll go north for maybe a week and cool off. And it wasn't unbearable. It was all right. And then I'm going to take my holiday at the end of my contract so that I can leave Vietnam the end of August, which would be quite good. Don't reckon on me getting back immediately because I just don't know yet how I'm coming home. There are all kinds of suggestions being bandied around. And one of them is that I should go and maybe spend some months in Australia and New Zealand doing a kind of fundraising tour, sort of public relations, speaking on television, going to Parliament, speaking to all the Australian committees, and then doing the same in New Zealand. It's kind of exciting thought to do it. It was only suggested last week, and it was Joss, really, who the Australian committee suggested it to Joss. And she hadn't liked to say it to me. She thought that I was too keen to get home to mention it to me. And I am keen to get home. But just the same, it's rather exciting to think about doing that. And it might mean I'll be a bit later home. I don't know yet, you know, it's all in the air. The other thing is that I would very much like to travel home by Nepal or Kashmir, obviously, for obvious reasons. I wrote to several of the LSCC and they all say they can't manage. So I've written to Donald Bennett to see if there are any expeditions going that would be suitable. But the thing is, there's not much between, you know, kind of hanging by one Jumar clamp off the north face, south face of Everest, or, you know, hauling fat Americans up cliffs. I don't know whether it would be good fun to go and just see Nepal without doing any climbing. I'll have to think about that one. And of course the other suggestion that Chris keeps putting up to me is to go home over the Trans-Siberian Railway. And then, most recent of all, Alison wrote a letter to me from Canada and said that if I come to Canada on my way home, come that way round, that she'll pay all my expenses in Canada and we can go to the Rockies. So you can see the dilemma that I'm in. But it's just to say that I probably won't be straight home. I'll be, you know, coming home some kind of funny way. But it's all just rather exciting and rather fascinating. Well, that's sort of future prospects and plans. And of course, when I come home, I just don't know. I'm going to have to go to London when I come home. I think I'll have to ask you to come down and have, you know, a week in London hooping it up with me, because I'm going to have to go to the committee, and obviously I'll have to do some speaking for them. And Mildred wants me to go to CIIR, because she says I've got a lot of political information for them, and also speaking about volunteers. I just don't know what to do, you know. I don't think I can come home, I'm going to be too busy. Anyway, it's all quite exciting. I think, yeah, it's 4:25. I'm going to have to knock off now, because in 5 minutes my Vietnamese tutor will be arriving. And I didn't learn my lesson from yesterday, so I'm going to have to hope that she's late and do a wee bit of swatting in between. I'll sign on again sometime this evening. I don't quite know when, probably midnight, because Marjorie Wallace has invited me to a party on her roof. We're all going, and I don't quite know when I'll get back. So, signing off, and I'll get some more of this tape done before it goes off to England tomorrow. Hello, here's another wee bit. I'm about to go out to a party, and I'm third in the queue for the shower, so I'll just carry on a wee bitty longer. Just had a super Vietnamese lesson. My tutor's great. She's a girl called Hung Van, and she's a fourth year medical student. And she's such good fun. We just have laughs all the time. She keeps pulling my leg, and we really enjoy ourselves. I really can't remember what I was at and what I was going to tell you next. I think I'd been blethering on about coming home and how I was going to do it and all the rest. Perhaps. Oh dear, I'm stuck. I've run out of notions and ideas. Oh, I never told you about the pussies. The pussy cat has had 4 beautiful kitties. They're really lovely. And we had such a laugh with her the other night, because we had them in a box upstairs here. Really comfortable, you know, sort of all quilted and cushioned, and they were in this cardboard box in the room. And the other night she decided that there were too many mosquitoes there, and she was going to take the pussies downstairs. So she carried them into the linen cupboard, and the door was a wee bitty open, so she managed to get right in, and she crammed them all into the linen cupboard. But then we realised that if she stayed in the linen cupboard, she wouldn't be able to get out at night, with terrible effects, you see. So we threw her out of the linen cupboard, and she went all over the house carrying these kitties in her mouth, one after the other, and sort of dropping them off all over the place, and they would meow pitifully. However, we eventually got her ensconced underneath the stairs, and she's really comfy there. And we've managed to find homes for all the kitties, so it's really quite good. Now, a wee bit of time, perhaps, before the end, about sort of the way I'm thinking about things. It's really difficult to say and difficult to sum it up. I really feel I've learned a fantastic amount here. And although a lot of my basic ideas are still the same, I've thought a lot, and a lot's changed. First of all, about religion, I'm questioning a tremendous amount. I'm still very convinced about house groups. More so than ever, in a way, I feel that it's the lay people are the important, are the sort of future of the church, is with the lay people. I think probably that's partly to do with Quakerism. I really find these Quaker meetings very, very helpful every Sunday. Sometimes we don't talk at all, we just sit in complete silence, and yet there can be a wonderful feeling of unity, a feeling of oneness with everybody else, oneness with God. And it's strange, afterwards, even if you haven't spoken, quite often we talk about it afterwards, and you'll find that everybody had the same kind of feeling. One night I just felt just incredibly happy, and everybody else was feeling the same. It's just very interesting to see how it works. Sorry, there's been a bit of a pause again. Hope this is going to work all right. I've been thrown out of my bedroom. I was a bit too shy to record with Joss around. So I'm across the road now in Andrew's house, and Andrew's suddenly come in as well. He was supposed to be away until next week, but he just suddenly arrived back. Seems quite pleased to see me, and I'm certainly pleased to see him. So, that's cheered me up a bit. Well, what was I on about? Yeah, Quaker meetings and things. There's something funny about this volume. Maybe that's better. Is that better? Yeah. I don't know how to explain the feelings I have about Quakers. I find that I'm very, very attracted by Quakerism, and I'm not quite sure when I come home what my attitudes will be. I feel that where they're lacking isn't, they don't seem to try to tell other people about it. And I still feel that if you really believe something very strongly and very deeply, you don't want to go around thumping people in the head to tell them they've got to think the same. But I still think that there's a real place for teaching and preaching. But we'll just have to see when I come home. I do think that the Quaker silence is a wonderful thing. It's really powerful, it's meaningful, and certainly in house group meetings I would love to see some that were just silent. But you can't just sort of have some silence and some not. You've got to decide pretty carefully about it, and people have to understand what it's all about. I've thought a lot, a tremendous amount. The other thing, of course, has been the Buddhist lectures. I'm still going to them once a week. We go to meditation sessions in Vanheim University. And that, too, has been a really wonderful experience. Meditation is tremendous, but it requires a great deal of discipline, and it's something that Quaker meetings don't have and possibly lack. That the Buddhist meditation is it's an isolated experience, it's not a group experience as the Quaker experience is. And in this, I think there is a selfishness, but as an isolated individual experience of oneself with God, it's wonderful. Very relaxing, you feel so refreshed after it, and really renewed, invigorated. It's a wonderful thing. Lectures are interesting. They've really made me think, broadens one's outlook completely. I now have a much wider attitude towards other religions and other philosophies. I feel that Buddhist thinking emphasizes many things that Christians have forgotten about. I don't say it's not in Christian teaching, because I still maintain that all the aspects of truth are covered in the Christian faith. But I think that Christians themselves have forgotten some of them, or have glossed them over, and that Buddhism highlights some of them. And so that this it's a way of reaching truth by other means, other ways, starting from other premises. Mind you, I think that we are getting intellectual Buddhism at its best at Vanhan University. What's actually practiced in the country, rather like their Catholicism, I think is a very debased form, and there's a lot of just sheer ritual. But then if you think about it, the same thing happens at home. A tremendous amount of our religion at home is just sheer ritual, meaningless. So that has really challenged my thinking too. And then of course the other big challenge is the whole question of the Western world, materialism, the Western way of life, and being challenged by communism, being challenged by the Quaker ideas of community life, Quaker ideas of simplicity, and also Buddhist ideas of simplicity. And I've been meeting some groups of very dedicated Catholics, and they too are challenging the whole existing material order. I was at a fascinating lecture a couple of weeks ago in which a Buddhist professor gave his view of the West, and it was terrifying. It was an idea of everybody totally dedicated to materialism, just rushing headlong down here in a sort of chaos, governed completely by what people want for themselves, no consideration of others, and a totally barren, wasteful existence. It was really frightening. And very true, very accurate. I came away totally depressed from this, you know, feeling that there was nothing left. And then the last question, which fortunately Andrew raised just at the end, he said, well, you know, in his whole lecture he'd never once mentioned Christianity. And he said, oh, but, you know, for the Buddhists and for the West, Christianity is the halfway house that provides the answer. He said he doesn't class Christianity as a religion of the West, but it was a universal religion. And this too made me think, but he said of course the West isn't Christian, they don't practice Christianity. And this is a challenging thought. What does it mean? What are one's values? Oh, so many questions have been raised. It's just totally fascinating. Peter calls it mind-blowing, and I've just had my mind blown several times. And it's tremendous, it's stimulating. And, well, I don't know, some people say when you come home, it's going to be very difficult because to readjust, I'm going to realize that at home, just as much as in Vietnam, there are brick walls that you bash your head against, that people are set in their ways. They're not going to stop and put everything down and listen and come home, and why should they? And it raises, of course, the big question, what'll I do when I come home? Will I go back to teaching? I'm more than ever convinced that teaching is powerful and terribly important, and that young people are stimulating. Is it something to do with the church? I don't think it's the ministry anymore, because I'm an anti-clericalist. But maybe there's something that can be done in the lay movement. I don't know. I don't think anybody gets any pay for that kind of thing. So maybe I'd have to teach and sort of go on the rampage at weekends or something. Could it be politics? My politics are becoming very radical, totally non-realistic at present. I'd have to get down to a lot of brass tacks, but I'm learning a lot about nosing my way into systems and ferreting around, and I just don't know. Wait and see. Maybe I'll just come home and do nothing. I'll be a dropout, your original layabout, lying there in bed, cups of tea being brought to me, people ministering to my needs, and ferret coming along every now and then. Anyway, home's going to be good when I get back. I haven't heard of any great Monroe baggings from the ferrety direction recently. I feel this is a very sad lack, and want to hear lots of reports of great grimps and suitable ascents made. I really do. Can I say it again? I'll finish the tape on what I started with, how much I love getting news from home. Just the ordinary things. I mean, you say that your letters are uninspired. My gosh, they're not at all. Because what I like to hear is about you sitting down with a dish on your lap and purring away, and John bringing his girlfriends home, and what Kenneth does next. Please, can I finish off with a wee message to Kenneth? Kenneth, thanks very much for the two pictures you've sent. They were really super. And could you perhaps send me some more? If you do a few more, and if you've got any stories you can tell me, then that would be really nice. I'd like to hear that. And I'll write some more letters to you about what I'm doing. I liked the picture of you in your school uniform. It looked really smart. Very nice. Very snazzy. And do you have any good friends at school? And can you tell me their names and a wee bit about them? Perhaps you could even draw a picture of them and let me see what they look like. They've got big ears or long hair or black hair. If you listen very carefully, you can hear a helicopter flying overhead. We have lots of helicopters. They're lovely big grey ones with sort of orange bits on them. They have orange stripy bits around the middle. There it goes. Listen. And next week, I'm going to fly in a New Zealand Air Force plane. And do you know, the man who drives the plane, the pilot, says that perhaps he's going to let me have a go at flying it. So you just wait, I'll come back flying planes before I get home. That'll be great fun. I don't know, he may not let me, but if it's nice weather, then he may say that I can fly the plane part of the way. Which will be good fun. Well, I think that's everything to everybody. Night-night to all the bunnies and Ferrat. Kenneth and the Deesh and the Tweesh and all the furry beasts at Woodville. Lots of love, and I think of you lots of the time, and I'm looking forward very much to not terribly far away from now when I'll see you all again. Lots of love. Bye bye.